Yeah, that's a good testimony. Amen. Still answers prayer. Romans chapter 7, if you will. And we'll start with verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Amen. 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 I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but John chapter 8, verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Apostle Paul, speaking of himself, inspired by the Holy Ghost, of course, every word, he says, I've got this problem. I have found out that the law of God, that's the commandments of God, condemns me. Because what I know ought to do, I don't even do that. And what I know ought not do, that I find myself doing exactly that. He said, so he's pondered this and led by the Holy Spirit. He said, so then I find there's a law within me that when I want to do good, evil is always present. So then he ends it by saying, but in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, but in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this old cursed body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul said, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. And the law which is spiritual was made by God, who is spiritual, but I'm still in the flesh. So I find this law that in me, in my flesh, I am continually doing what I want to do, and not what God wants me to do. Or I'm doing what I ought not do because God said I ought not do it. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, you'll never get saved till you get to that point right there. A lot of people walk the aisles of churches, make professions of faith, sign cards, join institutions and programs, who have never been born again because they've never seen themselves as what the Apostle Paul himself, the greatest Christian that ever lived, he saw himself as a wretched sinner. That's why we sing about it. That's why we praise God about our deliverance from sin and our salvation from sin. But we're in the flesh, and so therefore, Paul is saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, oh boy, you have a battle. In your whole life, you have a battle. But I like the way he ends it. You know, he doesn't end it like most Baptists. You know, pray for me, I got a battle. He said, no, I thank God that through Christ Jesus, I can win this battle. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to talk to you today about, if I could sing it, I'd sing, I'm on the winning side. We can win this battle. As Christians, we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to live defeated lives. Right. We can find freedom in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, growing up, my age of people in the born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s, we sang a lot about freedom. A lot of songs about freedom and living free, but we didn't even know what freedom was. We were just continually putting ourselves back into bondage under something else. We'd leave one thing, well, we don't want to be in bondage of the government, so we're going to live free. Yeah, and then you put yourself under the bondage of some group or some club or some peer group, you know, and they put you in bondage. They told you how to dress. They told you how to cut your hair. They told you what kind of shoes to wear. BJ would never fit in one of those groups. She's her own woman. I like that. I like that. I like it. I like that. I like that. See, I called you BJ. Yes. CJ. Okay, CJ. Forgive me. CJ. It's the hat. I couldn't see clearly. But I was just bragging on her to her daddy. I just bragged. And he said she takes after her mama. But listen, we put ourselves under bondage, under all kinds of people and groups, don't we? And habits and hobbies and wants that we call needs. And we put ourselves back under bondage from which Jesus Christ has paid the price to set us free to be out of that bondage. The bondage of sin. Anything that's out of the will of God is sin. You don't have to be a drunkard to be living in sin, though you are if you're a drunkard. Amen. Don't minimize that fact. But everybody, it seems like nowadays, is seeking freedom from something. Amen. We've got all kind of organizations now that's promising to set you free from things. You know, overweight. We'll set you free. Go on our diet. You know, buy our book. By our food, you know, you'll be skinny as a rail, you know, and you put yourself under their bondage. We've got other groups, you know, we'll hypnotize you and help you stop smoking. We'll help you stop overeating. We'll hypnotize you. You can join this group, and we'll get you off drugs or alcohol. And what we're doing, we're just turning ourselves over to another group instead of to God Himself. Amen. You can have freedom without having people, because God will give you freedom. And all people's going to do is put you under different expectations. And so we've got talked about in Sunday school. The government is all about this opioid epidemic. And boy, they're pushing. And all that is a wonderful sounding thing to pass new laws that we don't even need and don't enforce the ones we've got. And pass new laws so some politician can run for another office and say, I was big in the opioid epidemic struggle, and I helped America get all... lie. It's all lie. But it gets votes. Now, but there's a bigger epidemic than opioids in America. It's called alcohol. And you talk to any policeman, you talk to most health care workers, and they'll tell you alcohol has killed a whole lot more people than drugs. Alcohol's a drug. It's a depressant. And people take it, and they get depressed, and they shoot themselves, and they drive their cars into a bridge, and wives fight husbands, and husbands fight wives, and they abuse their children, they abuse their spouse, and alcohol's done more to harm America than any doctor writing a prescription. Now they're attacking doctors. They're attacking the drug company. Well, hey, I want to tell you something. I thank God that when I was hurting in my spine, that the doctor wrote me a prescription for the pain of my spine, and he didn't do it to hurt me, he done it to help me. You're going after the wrong people. I thank God we got people that'll make medicine. What would it be like if we didn't have it? Talk to Miss Earnhardt. She's got degenerative spine disease, and she couldn't live without painkillers. And I'm not saying that people don't abuse them. I'm not saying that there's crooked doctors. There's crooked everything. I'm not saying there's not crooked salesmen. There's crooked everything. But I'm saying this. Why don't you look for freedom where it is instead of to a government agency to set you free?
Amen.
Well, we've got a 12-step program. I've got one. Turn to Jesus.
Amen.
That's a 1-step program. Amen? Now, everybody needs to be set free. Everybody in this room, everybody in this country, everybody in this world needs to be set free from the number one problem of this world, and it's called sin.
Amen.
Just like the Apostle Paul said, we have a sin problem. It's not an alcohol problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a drug problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a sexual problem. It's a sin problem. And look, a man is a thief because he has that sin in his life. He's not a thief because he needs a new program. Right? Say amen right there. Amen. You know a lot of them guys. You know what I'm talking about. Listen. So, our nation, our churches have a sin problem. Now, the first thing people will quote to me, well, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And some may even know some more and say, there's none righteous, no, not one. And some may know a little bit more and say, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seek after God. Now, you listen to me. We all have a sin problem. But we don't have to live with it.
That's right. Right, yeah.
You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. God, I read it to you. In John 8:36, Jesus said that he will make you free, and who he makes free is free indeed. You won't need other helps if you'll get to the helper. Amen? And so I thought about that this week. The number one sin in America is not drug abuse. It is not alcoholism. It is not homosexuality. It is not lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, or adultery or fornication. The number one problem in America that people need freedom from is the sin of unbelief. Now, I hate drunkenness. I hate drug addiction. I hate homosexuality. I hate adultery. I hate all those things. God hates them. But those are only the fruits of the root of sin.
Amen. That's it.
Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them.
Amen.
And listen, he said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you are is going to come out. And what you are is a sinner. And your number one problem is not your wife. Adam. That's what Adam said. He was hiding. God come down and said, what you hiding for? He said, Lord, that woman you give me. And we've been saying it ever since. Amen? I still tell on her. Amen? Listen, but your wife's not your problem. And ladies, your husband's not your problem. I don't care if his feet stink and he refuses to take a bath or shave. He's not your number one problem. Sin is. And children, your parents are not your problem. Come on, parents. Matter of fact, if you got some parents, you're blessed. And if you got both of them in the house, you're extremely blessed in the day that we live in. They're not your problem. Your problem is something deep-seated inside of you that you were born with, and it's called sin. S-I-N. Wherefore, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You were born a liar from the beginning, and you'll be one to the grave unless you get set free.
Amen.
You say, I wasn't no liar. You're lying now. Everybody's lying. You'll probably lie before you leave, before you get home today, you'll probably tell a lie. Amen. 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 I better not expound on that because I don't want to reveal some of you. But the key of, look, guilt, anger, addictions, grief. You can be bound by grief. You can be bound by fear. You can be bound by anxiety. You can be bound by hurtful relationships, insecurity, abuse, divorce, lying, gambling. I said gambling, didn't I? Amen. That means lottery. Gambling, and you can be even controlled by control issues. There's all kinds of things can bind you, and you look real good while you're bound. There's a lot of functioning drunks. There's a lot of functioning drug addicts. And you can look real good, but if you've got a problem, you're going to have to go to the creator of the universe to be set free.
Amen.
Now, the good thing is he wants to set us free.
Amen. Yeah.
He is the key to freedom. He said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, you won't find that about a government program or a private program or a group or a peer group, or you can't buy it in a book. You can't go to a study to get it. You've got to come to Jesus Christ and ask him to set you free from sin.
Amen. Yeah.
I remember I used to watch the chaplain on Bourbon Street. Some of y'all remember him? He was in New Orleans. And he'd go up and down those streets and try to witness those drunks and perverts and everything else, you know, down there. And he was called the chaplain of Bourbon Street. He's a good preacher. But he said this one day, he said, I went in this bar. He'd go in out the bars and try to talk people out of the bars. And so he went in this bar, and there wasn't but one man there. He was sitting at the bar. He was drunk as a skunk, sitting there crying, you know, one of them crying drunks. And he said, I looked over at the bar keeper, and I said, barkeep, bring this man a cup of coffee. You need to sober him up. And said the barkeeper said, it ain't my job to sober him up. My job to get him drunk. He said, no, you need to sober him up. You need to get him sober before he leaves here. And that's what you ought to do. Bring some coffee. He said, preacher, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to throw you and that drunk out in the street. He said, I ain't going nowhere till you sober him up. He said, that big old man come out behind that counter and grabbed him by the neck and threw him out that door and grabbed the drunk and threw him out the door. And they were laying out there on the sidewalk and old drunk was crying. And the chaplain put his arm around, started praying, said, Lord, forgive him. Lord, forgive him. He's a drunk. He needs some help, Lord. Help him, deliver him. And said the drunk shook him and said, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. He said, what? He said, don't tell him I'm drunk. Tell him I'm sick. That's the way a lot of y'all are. Well, I can't help myself. I'm sick. Yeah, you're sick. You're sin sick. And you're never going to get help until you get the freedom that you can only find in Jesus Christ by realizing you are powerless to fix yourself. Well, I've been going to this guy and he's been telling me all these positive things and I need to be more positive. And Pastor, you ought to be more positive. Okay, I'm positive. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved through Christ Jesus and let him deliver you. I'm positive of that. Amen. I'm positive as a Christian. If we don't let Jesus deliver us, we're going to have a messed up Christian life and go to heaven and lose reward. Amen. Look, we need to quit letting the world give us spiritual advice, because the Bible says that lost people are dead in trespass and sin. Spiritually, they're blind and they're dead. How would you take advice from a dead person? I'll tell you how it don't work. Go down here to Green's funeral home tomorrow. They'll probably have a funeral. Just walk down the aisle, look at that guy in that casket and say, can you tell me which stocks to buy? I heard you was a stockbroker. You'd look stupid, wouldn't you? Even the dead people would think you were stupid. He can't give you no advice. Don't look to the world. Look to Jesus. Amen? Now here's what you got to do. Three little things and we'll go on. Look at verse 18 in Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 18. He said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now you say, now wait a minute, preacher, there's some good things in me. Well, there's a bad one right there, sinful pride. You are what you are by the grace of God. And look, you could be a lot worse. But we could probably be a lot better too. Amen? And so he says there in verse 18, we play God by denying our own humanity. We're humans. We sin. And when we deny that, we're making ourselves God, because we're calling God a liar. Well, God doesn't know me. God doesn't know my heart. I know my heart. You ever heard that? I know my heart. And if I know my heart, well, you don't know your heart. The Bible says your heart is sinful. It's sinful and it's desperately wicked. And it says this, no man can know it. You go by your heart, you're going to fall.
Amen.
Because see, going by your heart's your feelings. And your feelings will mislead you every time unless you get in the Word of God and go by the Word of God. Now, you're trying to control things yourself. And you're living in an uncontrollable world. Boy, how many meetings has the UN had and wars still rage? How many peace accords have been written and wars and killing and disaster goes right on. How many laws have been voted in by representatives and the law breaking goes right on? So you need to realize humanity cannot fix your problem. Only a miraculous act of God can set you free.
Amen.
We send people, well, we don't, but the courts now send people to these drug programs and all this stuff, and they're nothing but government money pits is all they are. They get those people in there and they go through these stupid little programs and they come out and a week later they're right back where they were. And I'll tell you something else. I used to work for one. I used to work with a subcontractor in Gastonia for the North Carolina Department of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. And I was too successful at my job. They gave me people. It was supposed to be my job to get to make the young ones successful at school, and I did. So they had to get off the program. It was my job to get the older ones on their medication right and to observe how they did it and help them stay on it and do things that would make their health better and then get them a job, and I did. And I got paid by how much I did with those people. So when I got when the company saw I was getting people where they ought to be, they didn't give me any more clients. You know why? They make money by those people depending on them.
Right, yeah.
And I was causing them to lose money. So they quit giving me clients. They got me down to 3 clients, and I couldn't live off of those hours I had on 3 clients. But that just proved to me that government organizations don't want you to get well. Come on, help me. And other organizations that get paid to help you, they don't want you well. Now you listen to me. You got to realize you have a sin nature. And you got to realize that you cannot control it. And you've got to realize there's only one place you can go to get set free, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But until you realize you have that sin nature and you admit it, Paul said, I know what's good and I don't do it. He said, but I know what's bad and I find myself doing that. He said, and then I realize it's not me. I want to serve God with my mind. I want to be right with God. I want to serve Him. But with my flesh, this old flesh, doesn't want to.
That's right. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am. So I'm not that wretched, but that pride there again. Well, I'm a good person. No, you just lied. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just because your failure is not as great as somebody else's failure does not disqualify your failure.
Amen. Yeah.
And just because your sin is not big as somebody else's sin does not cancel it out as being sin.
Amen.
And another place he said, judging ourselves by ourselves, we are not wise.
Come on now. Yeah.
Now why don't we just admit it? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If we went by our flesh today, even those of us who have been born again, we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven according to God's Word, we are following His Word in His way, we've received a Savior, we have acknowledgement in our heart and our mind, we've got assurance in our heart and our mind, and even at our best, we still come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And we have to depend on the grace of God.
Amen.
Now you listen. You got to admit that.
Amen.
I used to say, well, I'm not that bad. I ain't never killed nobody. I never robbed a bank. Well, that doesn't disqualify what you did do. Amen? Help me.
Amen.
Well, I'm a pretty good person. I just have this habit. Until you acknowledge it for what it is, if it's against the law of God, it's not a habit. It's sin.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
Chewing gum's a habit, if that's all you do, you know. But it's a sin. Look, chewing your fingernails is a habit, but it's not sin. Why don't we call things by what they are and acknowledge what we are? And because of what we are, we produce those things of trees known by its fruit.
Come on, man. Yeah.
So we can get right with God.
Right. Yeah.
I'll tell you why. We have this other sin of pride. We're afraid of what people think of us. Well, if I go down there and I say I'm not saved, and I grew up in the church, and I made a profession of faith when I was 6 years old, and I got baptized when I was 8, if I go down there and do that today, people's going to think bad of me. Right people won't think bad of you. They'll think good. Well, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, and I've lived for God, and I've done right, and I've taught Sunday school, and I've witnessed to people, and I quit this, and I quit that. But now, here I am doing this. If I go down there, everybody's going to think I've been a hypocrite. Well, join the club. We've all been a hypocrite.
Come on,
man. Yeah. You see, that old sinful pride will hinder you from the freedom that God wants to give you anyway. Now, we got to realize the cause. It's our sin nature. Then we got to realize the consequences of that. Verse 15, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. Is anybody hot? It's my preaching. It ain't the room. I'll bump it down 1 degree, Rick. Whoever put that thermostat in the hall, send. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now we've got to realize not only the cause of our problem, but the consequences of our problem. Look at verse 21 and 23 real quick. Verse 21, chapter 7. Verse 21 and 23. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now that's the consequences. By denying we have a problem, a sin nature, we get confused and we get fearful and we get frustrated because we're trying to live a lie and saying, I'm perfect, I don't need a Savior. Or either by saying, I'm saved, but I don't sin anymore. And by denying the fact, we cause frustration and fear and heartache in our own lives. And then we turn it around, blame it on you. Or you. Or you. Well, you know, I wouldn't be like this if my wife didn't. Yeah, you would. You're just afraid you're going to stand before God and now you want to point the finger at somebody else.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Like a little old third grader. Well, they did it too. Well, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. What about you? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? What's in your life? And look, you can't blame this on somebody else. You got to admit the problem, sin. If you don't, you're going to get frustrated. Well, preacher, I've had this experience. I had a bad experience, and I just can't get over it. That's sin. What you're saying is the God that can save you can't take care of you and can't heal you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He can do it all. And by you saying I can't get over it, you're saying I don't have freedom that Jesus said he would give me.
Amen. Yeah.
And then you sin again by calling God a liar. Well, preacher, I ain't never heard Joel Osteen say this stuff. Well, he ain't never made it through the first point. Look at Psalm 32, verse 4 and 5, real quick, I'm about through. Psalm 32, verse 4 says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Look, you know what he said? I couldn't even sleep at night. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't even cry anymore. I'd done it all. And I was so guilty and so empty until finally I confessed my sin and God delivered me. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and this is where Baptists stop. They just confess. But here's the real deal. And forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, see, the cause is you just don't want to forsake it. I don't know a Baptist I've ever met that wouldn't say, well, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace. Yeah, we are. But we don't have to be miserable saints.
Right, come on.
Well, I confess my sins every day. Yeah, but do you forsake them every day? And by the way, some sins you have to forsake them and forsake them and forsake them and forsake them until finally one day you'll forsake them for the last time and you'll be set free.
Yeah.
See, this ain't instant grits. You don't just pour water in and stir it up. And this ain't instant coffee. I hope you don't drink instant coffee. But this ain't, you don't just pour hot water in and stir it up. Look, you got to confess and forsake and confess and forsake and confess and keep seeking God and seeking God and admitting your failure, and then finally the frustration and the fear will leave and you'll feel the deliverance and the victory over that problem. And by the way, we all got them. Here's the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived. The greatest Bible preacher, Bible teacher, founded more churches than any man's ever founded. Not only that, he was the most spiritual man. God chose him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And this man is the one we're reading after, that which I would not that I do. But that which I would, I do not. And so he was frustrated, but he found out the cure. Now here's the cure. James 4:6, and we'll go home. James 4:6. In James 4, look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now you gotta humbly admit it and confess it. Now that didn't mean humbly admit it and live in it. Humbly admit it and confess it. Because you're powerless to change. You're powerless to control it. You're powerless to cope with it. You're powerless to cure it. That's where all those government institutions come in and all these programs and all these things. And look, that's why we spend so much money. People who refuse to humble themselves before the hand of God and submit to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're continually looking for help and more help and more help because they will not humble themselves before God and admit the problem is sin, not their wife, not their husband, not their children, not Donald Trump, not the Democrats or Republicans, not the doctor, not the drugstore, not the medical people that make the medicine, not the people that even produce the alcohol. The problem is called sin.
Amen. Amen. Come on, that's good.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before the Lord's Supper, he said, examine yourselves to see if you're in faith. I think there's a lot of people in churches who are not really into faith in the first place, but they refuse to examine themselves.
Come on, man. Yeah.
They've never been born again. They might have joined the church. They might have joined some program, but they're not into faith of following Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yeah.
And they're going to die and wake up in a devil's hell.
Come on, man.
Because their sinful pride would not allow them to humble themselves and admit they were not saved. There's a lot of people in our churches who have defeated Christian lives. They're just defeated because they have sin in their life and they will not humble themselves and admit it's a sin and it's their fault.
Come on, man. Yeah.
So God can't bless them. He says, so I find a law that in my flesh, I served old flesh. I'm going to break God's laws. But with my mind, I serve the law of Christ. We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he goes on, he says, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. That's because some people admitted they needed help. They admitted that I can't stop this. They admitted on my best day I'm still a sinner and I need some help. I can't live this. I can't get over this. I can't stop this hate. I can't stop this grief. I can't stop this disappointment. I can't stop hurting other people. I can't stop remembering this stuff. I need some help, Lord. And we humble ourselves before Almighty God. And sometimes we do it over and over and over. But one day, we can sing victory in Jesus. Now there's people in this room who's been through all kind of things just like you. And they didn't just come to the altar one time or go in their prayer closet one time and get it fixed. They humbly submitted themselves before Holy God over and over and over till finally God said, okay, this is what you've been doing. This old nasty, show me that flesh. This old nasty thing right here. Can I say nasty? That's not a Bible word, but South Carolina word. This old nasty thing right here has been dominating you, and I want to set you free. Amen. So I'm going to let you go from that. Just trust me, and I'm going to let you go. And he lets you set you free. Now, a year or two later, something else may come along. It's a continual process. You will never arrive till you get there. Amen. Heaven. Right. But on the way, you can have freedom. Yes. You can have victory. You don't have to be defeated, and I don't have to fall down. You don't have to be defeated, and you don't look. You don't have to give up, and you don't have to give in, and you don't have to say, I can't help it, and there's no hope for me. You can have the victory, because this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John says that. Now you listen to me. You don't have to be defeated. Today, some of you came in here, you're just as defeated as you can be. Why don't you humble yourself before God? You can make a place at the altar. Now, I know to you that don't mean much, and I know it's hard to get out, but there's just something about coming to an altar and praying. And ladies, if you come, I'm sure there's some other ladies that will come and they'll pray with you. And men, if you come, I'm sure there's other men that will come and pray with you, not to judge you, but because we've been through the same thing. Now, if you're not saved, you can just come up here and say, Pastor, I'm not saved. But I realize that today I've been trying to get to heaven on my own, and that's sin itself. And I believe Jesus died for me, and I want to ask Him to save me today. Let's stand. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, you know our hearts. You know our minds.